Welcome back, everybody. Ready for another deep dive?
Absolutely. Always excited to dig into some history.
Well, today we're going to be journeying through Jewish history, exploring how the Israelites rebuilt their lives and their faith after the Babylonian exile.
Fascinating period.
It is. It is. And we're using Dr. Jeffrey Houdon's lecture on the Persian period as our kind of our roadmap for today.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, there's some fascinating twists and turns ahead. We're talking about the emergence of a key institution that still shapes Jewish life today.
It does.
And even influence Christianity.
Huge. Yeah.
Plus, we'll get into that nitty-gritty of Jerusalem's reconstruction using an ancient text, like a blueprint to map out the city.
Yeah, that's always fun when we can connect texts and archaeology.
It is. It is. It really brings it to life.
It does.
So before we get to all that, let's set the scene. We're picking up the story after the Babylonian exile, roughly 586 to 539 BCE. I know some, like the prophet Daniel, were exiled a little earlier.
Right. Right.
But imagine, just imagine being forced from your homeland, traveling hundreds of miles to Babylon. Many, many would never see their home again.
Yeah. It was a traumatic experience, no doubt, and one that shaped the Jewish psyche for generations to come.
Oh, absolutely. Think about those, you know, exiled as young children.
Yeah.
In 586 BCE, they would return as older adults, and their memories of Jerusalem are fading.
Absolutely. Those memories would have been very, very faint by that point.
And then, boom, the Persians.
The Persians, yes.
They arrive on the scene and kind of change the course of history. We're talking about an empire that stretched from Egypt to the Indus River.
Exactly, yeah. Massive, massive empire.
It's like an ancient superpower.
Precisely. The Persian Empire was vast and remarkably well organized. Mm-hmm. Their administrative system was incredibly efficient for its time.
I've heard that.
Yeah, think of it almost as like an ancient version of the Pony Express. You know, relaying messages across this massive, massive territory with surprising speed.
That's amazing.
It is.
So under Persian rule, we see the rise of a really vital institution for the Jewish people, and that is the synagogue.
Yes.
Or the Beit HaKnesset. Mm-hmm. I've always thought of it as a place of worship.
Yes.
But I heard it started as more of a community center.
That's right. You know, while there may have been similar gatherings before, the synagogue, as we know it, really flourished during the exile.
Makes sense.
So think of it as a space for Jews to connect with each other, support one another, and really preserve their cultural and religious identity, especially while they're far from Jerusalem.
Yeah, so it was born out of necessity.
Yes.
A way to maintain their traditions and sense of community during a time of real upheaval.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing how something so essential to Judaism today emerged from such challenging circumstances.
It really is a testament to the adaptability and resilience of the Jewish people.
Absolutely. And it's also fascinating to consider how the synagogue, in a way, became a prototype for the Christian church.
That's right.
You know, they both provide a space for communal gathering and prayer and study of religious texts.
Exactly. There's a real lineage there.
Yeah, that's a really interesting connection. Now, here's where things get exciting.
Okay.
In 538 BCE, Cyrus the Great, the Persian king, he issues this famous edict allowing exiled people to return to their homelands.
Right. The Edict of Cyrus was a significant, significant turning point.
Absolutely.
And remember, it wasn't just for the Jews, but for various groups that had been displaced by the Babylonians.
Right, right.
Demonstrating a degree of tolerance and respect for different cultures. And that's actually a shift from the policies of previous empires.
Okay, so Cyrus gives the green light. Yeah. And now we have this fascinating figure, Zerubbabel, who is a descendant of King David.
That's right.
Leading the first wave back to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
They even begin rebuilding the temple. But here's a question that pops into my mind. Why wasn't a Davidic king established at this time?
Hmm.
It seems like the perfect opportunity.
Yeah, that's a really sharp observation. The political landscape at the time was complex.
I bet.
While allowing the Jews to return and rebuild their temple.
Yeah.
The Persians weren't really keen on having a powerful, you know, Davidic king potentially challenging their authority.
Makes sense. So it was more about the Persians consolidating their power and maintaining control over the region.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, you mentioned earlier that the Persians had this really, really organized system for running their empire.
Yes.
What was that like?
So basically, they divided their vast territory into provinces.
Okay.
Called satrapies. Think of them as just administrative regions.
Gotcha.
Judah, for instance, became known as Yehud.
Yeah.
A sub-province within this larger satrapy called Beyond the River.
Yeah, Hood. That's new. That's a new one for me.
And we actually have physical evidence of this.
We do. We have archaeological finds, things like Yehud coins, jar handle stamps from this period, confirming this administrative structure.
So we have, it's like holding a piece of history in your hand.
Yeah, exactly. Giving us tangible evidence of Persian rule in this region.
That's incredible. Now, let's talk about the rebuilding of Jerusalem, specifically the walls. Enter Nehemiah, arriving from Persia, you know, with a mission.
Oh, yeah.
You can imagine sneaking around at night, surveying these ruined city walls on a donkey until, you know, you hit some rubble and you got to get off and walk.
Right.
It's like an ancient spy mission.
Well, Nehemiah's account in chapter 3 of his book is fascinating. It really does read like a meticulous construction log.
Oh.
Offering, I think, one of the best sources for understanding the layout of pre-exilic Jerusalem.
So we can actually use his text as a guide to map out the city as it existed centuries ago.
Exactly. And in the 1950s, archaeologist Michael Aviona did just that. He analyzed Nehemiah's account, used it to create a reconstruction of those city walls. And it's amazing to see how textual sources and archaeology can work together to illuminate the past.
That's remarkable. But I've heard there's debate about the size of Jerusalem.
There is.
What's the story there?
So Aviona's view was what we call minimalist.
Okay.
He believed that Jerusalem during the monarchy was relatively small.
Okay.
However, later archaeological discoveries suggest it was actually much larger, which has sparked an ongoing discussion among scholars.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
So while some folks were busy rebuilding Jerusalem, what about the majority of Jews who stayed in Persia?
Yeah, that's a great question.
They weren't all packing their bags, right?
Not at all, no. Huh. It's crucial to remember that most Jews actually remained in Persia.
Okay.
They continued to build their lives there within the empire.
Makes sense.
And their stories are really woven into, you know, biblical books like Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, all set against that backdrop of Persian society.
It makes you wonder how their experiences, like, shape Jewish identity differently than those who returned to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Talk about a long-distance relationship.
It really is a fascinating question.
Yeah.
We know those communities thrived. They maintained connections with the land of Israel.
Right.
But their interpretations of Jewish law and practice may have evolved differently over time, you know, influenced by their surroundings.
Yeah, it reminds us that Jewish history isn't just a single narrative.
Right.
It's a tapestry of diverse communities and traditions.
A great way to put it.
Okay, let's shift gears for a moment.
Yeah.
I've always been captivated by ancient Persia.
Mm-hmm.
Those images of Persepolis.
Yeah.
Breathtaking. A true testament to their architectural prowess.
Absolutely.
What was life like in this vast empire?
The Persian Empire was incredibly diverse, encompassing a multitude of cultures and languages and religions. Imagine a crossroads of ancient civilizations bustling with trade routes connecting east and west.
So you're telling me ancient Persia was like a melting pot of cultures.
In many ways, yes.
I wonder how much of that influenced, like, Jewish life.
It's impossible to quantify, but it's certainly plausible that living within this multicultural empire exposed Jews to new ideas, philosophies, ways of life. Some level of cultural exchange and influence seems inevitable.
It makes total sense.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine they wouldn't have been influenced by the world around them.
Yeah.
And speaking of influence, let's circle back to the synagogue for a moment.
Okay.
It wasn't just a place to gather. This period sees a shift in its function with a greater emphasis on prayer and the study of the sacred texts, particularly the Torah.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, it's almost like the exile, despite all its hardships, it led to a deeper engagement with their faith and traditions.
Yeah.
It's like they rediscovered what it meant to be Jewish.
You could say that. Yeah. The experience of exile really forced the Jewish people to re-examine their beliefs, their relationship with God, the importance of their traditions. It was a period of intense introspection and spiritual renewal.
And the synagogue played a key role in facilitating that, right?
Absolutely.
It wasn't just about physically rebuilding. It was about this reconstitution of Jewish identity after that trauma of exile.
Precisely. The synagogue provided a space for communal prayer, study, interpretation of those sacred texts, fostering a shared sense of identity. And the Torah, the law of Moses, became even more central to Jewish life and practice during this time.
So it wasn't just about bricks and mortar. It was about rebuilding that spiritual foundation as well.
Yeah, well said.
I think our listener is starting to get a sense of how how this period was so pivotal for the Jewish people. It's about resilience, adaptation, and rediscovering who they were
right
in the face of these immense challenges.
You've hit the nail on the head. And within that context, we see the emergence of different schools of thought within Judaism,
laying the groundwork for this diverse tapestry of Jewish traditions we see today.
Now, that's a tantalizing thought to unpack. But
yeah.
But before we dive into that,
sure,
let's take a virtual tour of some of the key cities of the Persian Empire.
Mm-hmm.
We can't talk about the Persian Empire without mentioning Persepolis, you know, their magnificent capital city.
Oh, yeah.
Those images are just breathtaking.
Absolutely.
And then there's Susa, which plays a key role in the Book of Esther.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling to think about these ancient cities bustling with life.
Persepolis was indeed a marvel, showcasing the empire's wealth and power.
Yeah.
Even today, its ruins evoke a sense of grandeur.
Kind
of. Susa, strategically located between Persia and Mesopotamia,
right,
a vital administrative hub and a real melting pot of cultures,
oh,
connecting different parts of that vast empire.
And let's not forget Pasargadae.
Yes.
The legacy of Cyrus the Great.
Right.
With its gardens and palace and his final resting place.
Ah, Pasargadae, representing the roots of the Persian Empire.
The vision of its founder.
Hmm.
A place steeped in history and symbolism, offering a glimpse into the early days of this powerful dynasty.
You know, as we explore all this, it strikes me that the Persian period was relatively stable for the Jews.
Yeah.
Compared to what they had endured before.
That's a valid point.
Yeah.
While not without its challenges, Persian rule was generally marked by tolerance.
Right.
The Jews had a degree of autonomy.
Yeah.
Figures like Nehemiah even held positions of authority within Yehud.
Right. I mean, Nehemiah wasn't just rebuilding walls. He was basically governing the province.
Exactly.
That's a far cry from being exiled in Babylon.
It is.
But I guess nothing good lasts forever.
Sadly, no.
There were challenges brewing on the horizon.
Indeed, the rise of Hellenism with its radically different worldview would bring new complexities and threats to Jewish life and identity.
Mm.
But that, as they say, is a story for another deep dive.
It's cliffhanger. I like it.
Yes, yes.
So as we wrap up our exploration of the Persian period, what are some key takeaways you want our listener to ponder?
I think it's essential to understand this period as a pivotal moment of transition and rebuilding for the Jewish people.
Okay.
It's a testament to their resilience and their enduring faith.
Mm-hmm.
We see the emergence of the synagogue as a central institution shaping Jewish life for centuries to come,
mm-hmm,
and even influencing the development of Christianity.
And it's not just about physical structures. It's about the reconstitution of their identity.
Right.
The re-engagement with their faith and traditions after the trauma of exile.
Absolutely. It's about adapting to a new reality, navigating the complexities of living within the vast multicultural empire while preserving their unique heritage.
Yeah, it really makes you think about the enduring legacy of this period and how it continues to shape Jewish life today.
It does, and it reminds us that history is not just a collection of dates and events.
Right.
It's about the lives, the struggles, and the triumphs of real people.
I love that. And speaking of pondering, I like to end each deep dive with a thought-provoking question for our listener.
Okay, sure.
So, considering everything we've discussed, I'm curious about the long-term impact of the exile and the cultural exchange between Jews and Persians.
Okay.
How might the experiences of those who remained in Persia have shaped Jewish identity differently from those who returned to Jerusalem?
Mm.
It's like two branches of the same tree growing in different directions.
That's a brilliant question.
Mm.
It encourages us to think about the diverse tapestry of Jewish experiences during this period and how those experiences continue to resonate today.
Exactly. It's a reminder that history is an ongoing conversation, a journey of discovery that never truly ends.
Well said. I think that's a perfect note to end on.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Persian period.
It was my pleasure.
We'll be back soon with another fascinating exploration of history.